Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Boop. There oh, go. There it goes.
High five.
Woo.
Woo.
That's how it works.
Woo.
Woo.
That's how it works. Ric Flair.
Woo.
Four Horsemen.
Hard to do the thing at a
yes.
strut.
It is.
I got movies.
Wasn't his daughter just involved in some drama?
Probably.
His daughter, like she was like. She was with an organization and left the organization or something.
She's still with the WWE.
Is she?
Okay. She's with Andrade, who is at AEW.
I see.
He's left the organization.
Sorry about
that. For greener pastures, question mark?
We'll see.
Well, it's pretty fun. Everybody gets mad at them, but they do each other's finishers during other matches.
Oh, cool.
Kind of like a nod, like, hey, I'm with that person. Remember that person that's over there? It's pretty fun that they do it.
That is neat.
Anyways, movies. I got some.
I also have some.
I think these are good movies, so however you want this to go.
I would say you go first.
Then I shall. And I'm going to do the least done genre on our podcast.
Western. Musical Western.
No. No, actually. The good old romance movie.
Oh, yes. That is less done than the musical Western.
Just barely, though.
Just barely.
Just barely.
Barely. Canadian Vampire was it until last episode.
Until last episode. So good. But anyways, I did a beloved romantic comedy.
Oh, okay.
I did 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, I enjoy this film.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sam, have you seen this movie? Do you like it, Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah, she might.
She remembers it.
She said if.
If?
All right, I watched this on the 13th of August, 2023. It's an hour 35. Comedy, drama, romance. That's from 2009. I don't remember if I said that. Directed by Mark Webb, starring the Zooey Deschanel, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
yes.
and the Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yes.
Who's awesome
and
in
young.
This movie. Yes, this is like... probably hit girl era.
I think so.
So good in this movie.
Yeah.
IMDb movie summary: after being dumped by the girl he believes to be his soulmate, hopeless romantic Tom Hansen reflects on their relationship to try and figure out where things went wrong and how he can win her back.
How?
Well, he probably can't.
He probably can't.
Probably can't. So this movie does the classic back and forth Tarantino-ing that everybody loves, where you get a little bit and you go back and you go forward and you're going back in time. So they keep showing you the calendar and they'll go forward and backwards with the calendar, which is a nice little thing. And it starts with like him at the office when she comes in and he's kind of obsessed with her.
He writes greeting cards, right?
He writes greeting cards. He works at the greeting card company, which, what's his name? Coulson from S.H.I.E.L.D. What's his name?
Clark Gregg
is his boss, and he's fantastic. I forgot to mention him here.
Yeah,
but
we love Clark Gregg.
I do love him, for sure. Even if he was a Canadian vampire, I would still.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He directed Choke, the Chuck Palahniuk book. He's a great actor. He's a treat.
He is a treat.
Just does what he likes, and you can tell he enjoys it.
He's having a blast. Hi, Clark Gregg.
Hi.
But this movie is just really, really cool movie. It is very much on the strengths of Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel. Would you consider this the movie that really broke Joseph Gordon-Levitt into the mainstream?
It was on the path. Like, it was the big push to get him. Same with Mark Webb, right? That's how he landed Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
Somehow on the back of this romantic comedy.
I mean, his last name's Webb.
His last name is Webb.
If it's not a sign, you know?
Yep.
But it's such a strong performance. And I was gushing over Chloe Grace Moretz because she plays his little sister and she is like the romance advice for him.
Yes.
She's like, you're an idiot. Here's why. Just do this. Now go away. All my friends are staring at you because they think you're cute. And like funny things like that are thrown in to kind of break the tension. But you watch him do everything right, do everything wrong. Zooey Deschanel's character is basically like, I just want to have a good time. I'm not necessarily looking for a relationship, but they do a lot of things that are relationship things. It gets a little gray where it's like, well, you could see where he would be fooled into thinking this is moving that way.
Right.
And you could also see where she's not really wrong because she already kind of set out the mission statement. It's just basically a basic plot as far as romantic comedy goes, but it's the performances that make it so good. You feel the raw emotion.
I agree. It's a story we know well, but it's told in such a unique and interesting way and carried by these two very strong leads.
And both leads are adorable, cute people.
Oh, it's
They're
great.
Like the cutest people on earth.
Yeah.
It's not even fair.
Her describing their relationship as Sid and Nancy.
Yes.
And then she's like, no, I'm Sid.
I'm Sid.
It's great.
That is a great
conversation.
Moment.
Yeah.
And it goes through the gauntlet where they're together, they're not together, they come and see each other. There was some overlap with a function, and they run into each other, and it's just like, you're going back and forth, and you're very much by the end, like, okay, we know all the good and all the bad, roughly. It's all, will they get back together
yep.
by the end of this movie, or is it better if they just never see each other again? And that's yeah. kind of where they're leading you down. You know that pretty early on.
Absolutely.
And I just think it's very well done, and the ending is very sweet. I like the end of this movie. You don't always, some of these movies are like so good with the emotions throughout, and then I feel like they want to rip your heart out at the end.
Yeah.
And you know, this one maybe isn't everybody's favorite ending, I'll say, but I feel like it's like, hey, we're just gonna leave this on a nice note, and you know, nobody's gonna like punch each other when they see each other ever again.
Yeah.
You know, which is nice. Because sometimes we just need nice. That's what I'm learning about these romance movies. Romance.
Nice, huh?
Nice.
Not quite a musical western.
No. Gonna paint a wagon.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic stuff.
Gonna paint it black.
Yeah, that's it. There's a lyric.
Well, that's it for me on this one. I thought it was a really fun movie.
It is a fun movie.
Really fun movie. Really good performances.
I got to call out one moment from this movie. It's okay. One of my favorite little moments in a film is when Joseph Gordon-Levitt first kind of like has his moment with her, and he comes out of the building where he works, and he looks at himself in the reflection of a car window, and looking back at him is not him, but Han Solo.
Yes, yes.
It's so absolutely, it's just like, I'm a fucking pimp moment. Yep. It's so great. Like, if you know, you know, kind of thing, where it's like, they could not have put a funnier reflection in that car window.
I forgot about that. Yes, that is very good.
Yeah, love that part.
It's a smart movie.
I'm
glad it was good. I expected it to be good. I'm just glad it resonated with me.
It definitely has the potential to be a little snobby, and you can kind of feel that. Like you said, they're so good looking, and like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character acting like no one understands him because he listens to very popular indie bands. It's like, dude, these are like the pinnacle of indie bands.
Right.
Acting like nobody knows who the Smiths are is ridiculous.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, that's a little, you know what I mean? Like, but I think they end up making it so it leads into kind of how naive he is, and it backs you off of the movie having that tone.
They pay it off later too, because when he's having a bad time, he has a bad time.
Yes.
And when he loses his shit in the greeting card meeting, where he's just like, this is bullshit, can't you write anything better? And he just loses his mind on everybody by just being kind of honest, but like in the douchiest way possible. So I think they pay off his roller coaster ride of emotions.
I agree.
The scores, I was expecting them all to be 9.5s. They're not. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
IMDb gave it a 7.7 out of 10.
Pretty high.
The critics, 233 of them, gave it 85%. Still good.
Still good.
The audience, 250,000 plus, 84%. So right there. The wife did not watch this with me. In fact, she was making fun of me for wanting to watch this. She goes, you don't like those kind of movies. Why would you? I go, the podcast needs them. If I don't do them and Max don't do them, they don't get on there. So,
I don't understand romance.
It eludes us, really. And now you can see why. My wife is making fun of me for watching a lousy wife. Anyways, I gave it a 7.5. It's good.
It is. It's a really good one.
I agree.
North. I got a movie that I've reviewed on a different podcast. Yeah.
Go back and watch those other podcasts. They were good.
That's right. Yeah. How good is that? Is the name of that other podcast?
I don't know what movie it is, but I know what the podcast was.
That's right. It's from the year 1994. This movie, it's called Pulp Fiction.
And I said Tarantino. That's nice. How good. Segways.
Watch this on August 7th of 2023. It's 2 hours and 34 minutes short. It is a drama directed by the aforementioned Quentin Tarantino, starring John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis, and Amanda Plummer. Amongst a shitload of others.
That's true.
The summary for this movie, I'm interested to read this. The lives of two mob hitmen, a boxer, a gangster, and his wife, and a pair of diner bandits, because it's breakfast time.
That's right.
Intertwine for four tales of violence and redemption.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take it. That's fair.
Yes, I did review this movie already on How Good Is That? We did every Quentin Tarantino movie right before and including Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then we ranked all of the Tarantino movies. Not an easy task.
No, no, no.
I will give you all a little spoiler. This is not my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie.
Mine either.
I think it is a top three Quentin Tarantino effort, but I do not think it is my favorite.
Probably number two for me.
It's so hard. It is such a strong film. And it's kind of taken a lot of movies that followed it up, and everything had to fit into the Tarantino formula. And this was shortly before before, I'm pretty sure, Clerks, which was also a big hit on the indie circuit. So it was like, yep, man, people talking smart at each other is the way to make a movie, I'll tell you what.
I tell you what.
And so unfortunately, we had a lot of people not understanding what was so smart about the way that Tarantino and Smith wrote their dialogue and just attempted to make the most like kind of pedestrian effort at doing the cool talkie.
That's right.
It's really a shame. And there's so many cool things that Tarantino did smart and we see now just ripped off so much that you almost forget that that wasn't a thing before Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Like, we all know the Royale with cheese conversation. But you have to remember, this conversation is so mundane, right? Like, so it's like, do you know what they call a quarter pounder in Europe? Like, who gives a shit? Honestly, right. Who cares?
Right.
But it's like this mundane conversation the two dudes are doing. You can both tell they're working. They're in suits. They're driving somewhere. So it's like, oh, okay, they're having a casual conversation. You don't realize that they're hitmen.
Right.
And they're about to go murder a bunch of other dudes. It's like this conversation, the fact that that conversation is so mundane and it precedes such a, like, terrifying and violent moment,
yep,
is what makes it uniquely interesting, right? Like, we just water cooler talk, right? Like, I just got back from Europe. Tell me about it. We're talking about McDonald's. Speaks also, I'm calling out this moment because he gives you a little taste, because you can't do this whole movie in the segment have here. But also calls up the Vincent Vega character. All the fucking places he could have went to blow his mind, motherfucker goes to McDonald's.
Yep.
Like, brilliant. Brilliant. And you never even think about that.
No.
Like, it's so smart. It's so well handled. And the whole movie is this smart and this well handled. It's so good. The soundtrack crushes it.
Soundtrack's perfect.
Like, it's so good. The Dick Dale score, everybody knows that surf rock. Yep. Like, everybody knows that hit. It's just, it became, like, synonymous with this to the point it got ripped off in the film Space Jam. Like, it just touched the zeitgeist in a way, a movie of this ilk. Like, I was a kid and knew of the movie Pulp Fiction, and it would have went miles over my head at the time.
Yeah.
So good, so smart. I mean, it's just hard to say anything too bad about this movie. I think there's a couple things, like the fact that the briefcase exists and is literally a MacGuffin. Like, it's a little too, I'd say, if my criticism in the negative, as small as it is that it's a little too on the nose. Like, it's a little, like, we were just talking about that snobby level.
Sure.
Tarantino is very good at being like, I am, and he is a cinema auteur. Like, he fucking loves movies in a way many of us will never get to know a movie. And that's awesome, and it's his jam, but sometimes he comes off a little too look downy, you know what I mean?
Sure.
To people who aren't into that. And I can see that kind of pushing people back. And it took me a lot of years to really appreciate this film because I was just like, it's not as good as everybody says because I'm fucking edgelord. But that's not the case. I totally appreciate this movie now, albeit it's not my favorite one.
Mine either.
So IMDb gives this an 8.9 out of 10.
That's like top 10 category for them. Crazy. Yeah.
Rotten Tomato critics, 116 critics. You want to take a stab at this one?
From
the critics.
I'm going to say like 94, 95.
You're close, 92%.
Okay.
A little lower than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Audience of 250,000 plus.
Well, that's tougher to guess.
Go for it.
That's tougher because I feel like, I want to say it's higher, but I bet it's not. I'm going to say 89.
You were right. It's higher.
Oh, 96%. Dang.
96%.
I should have believed in the people.
You believed in yourself and then doubted yourself.
That's how I roll.
That's how it worked. I give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Movie's phenomenal.
It was very good.
It is so good.
Very cool. Very good. I love you, honey bunny. Well, I got a movie. You want to hear about it?
I don't.
Oh, then.
Tell me back about to something you. Else.
Well, the other day, I had...
Whoa. You already told me a story earlier. Tell me about your movie.
Oh, all right. Well, it's from 1976.
Okay, a great year.
It's a good year for movies, I think.
10 years before the greatest movie, or greatest year.
That's true. Nothing else matters really before it. You're right. These are milestones.
That's right. They're just building towards something.
The coming.
That's right. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. I watched Marathon Man.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. I was like, man, I kind of remember this movie. I definitely need to... I probably watched it too young. It probably went over my head. Let me get in here and watch Marathon Man. So I watched it on the 14th of August, 2023. It's 2 hours, 5 minutes. Your genre, crime, drama, thriller.
Yes.
Directed by John Schlesinger. Starring Dustin Hoffman, Laurence Olivier, and Roy Schneider.
Captain Hook.
That's right. His biggest role.
Maybe that'll you know, be, maybe that'll be coming
that
up.
That dates us, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Captain Hook. Like, Dustin Hoffman, name a movie. Captain Hook.
Hook, baby.
Not like, you know what I mean? Not
9 million other, not Rain Man.
Not Rain Man. Yeah, Rain Man's a big one.
Rain Man's the one
Graduate,
that should.
The Graduate, right?
Like, those are the two that should pop in your mind.
No, Captain Hook.
This one's in this top 10, I'd say. This is a good one.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
A good one for him. But after an event that I am omitting because it is a huge spoiler. You're welcome.
Bleep.
A New York history student finds himself inexplicably hounded by shadowy government agents on the trail of a Nazi war criminal who is trying to retrieve smuggled diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Pretty wild plot, right?
This really feels like a tale of two stories. You're focusing on him, you're focusing on his older brother, and they're both doing two separate things that are kind of going to intersect. He is just everyday college student. He's called Marathon Man because he runs around one of the Bay Areas, and he's always trying to do long runs and whatnot. Right.
Such a weird title for this movie,
too. It is. But it kind of comes back around at the end.
It works because the movie is kind of a focus on him. It's just like when I first heard of Marathon Man, I'm like, I have no idea what this movie is about. Right. And I was not expecting this at all.
No. So his brother is like secret agent guy almost, working for the government. And he is involved in this plot that's going to be moved forward. And you see him interact. They're kind of almost separate. And you're like, how do these two things go together? I feel like, am I watching the correct cut? I feel like I'm watching two movies at the same time.
Yep.
But then you realize there is a shared history and that they are the actual brothers, because you're not even sure that the brothers initially. And then they get together and then their two stories start to merge. But he's just a regular guy going through college and he's just trying to like date women and have a normal life. He's trying to get better at running. The running comes into play because eventually he's got these Nazi characters that come and basically take him, and he has to survive a marathon of horror, essentially.
He does.
A real world horror. I did write a bullet point. Sometimes I don't.
That's okay.
William Devane is so good in this movie. And if you saw him, you'd be like, oh, that guy. Mm-hmm. He's got one of those faces. You're like, that guy. He steals scenes. He is a government agent that's trying to protect him. He's the best friend of the brother character.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when there's a point where you can't find the brother, he's like, look, you got to come with me. He goes, who the hell are you? And it's like, he's kind of like the surrogate for the brother at that point. And it's just a wild cat and mouse thriller. And it's a true thriller. But then there are some powerful moments. The Nazi character is this terrible... he was a dentist, and he would drill out the gold in Jewish prisoners' teeth.
Right.
There's a whole backstory on him. You get bits and pieces of it. He ends up in New York as well, and he's trying to smuggle these diamonds. Well, he has to go to a Jewish district to try to do it, and there's this powerful, powerful scene. Multiple Jewish people, elderly, of course, recognize him.
Right.
Because he is such a horrible part of their history, and it actually starts to cause a scene. He's like, oh my God, I never thought these people would remember me.
Yeah.
It's like, of course they remember you.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
And it's just, and it's like multiple people at the same time are just like, oh my God, is that guy? Is that whatever his name was? And
right.
I'm like, oh my God, this is, and it's like old woman who's like about to fall down and break a hip, like screaming for people to help her. Very powerful scene. There's a lot of powerful scenes.
Yes.
It is a little weird because the movie, again, doesn't feel like a cohesive movie until really the last half.
I think you're
last
right.
Last third, even.
Right.
But once it gets going, all the dots get connected, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Sure.
So it's an interesting one, and I think it's worth checking out.
I concur.
So IMDb gave it a 7.4 out of 10. The critics at Rotten Tomatoes, 46 of them, give it 83%. The audience, 10,000 plus, give it 81%. There is no wife score. It's just me. I have the lowest score, but not by much. I gave it a 7 out of 10.
It's fair.
It's a good movie. It's worth checking out.
It is a really good one.
Great performance from Dustin Hoffman. He got in good shape for that.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he was running, for sure.
Yep.
What you got?
I have not just a film, but I have a lot of films that are going to be encompassed in what I'm coming to call Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Oh, it's starting.
It is starting.
Hi, Jared.
Hi, Jared.
Hi.
Jared had thrown down the gauntlet and
he
is
did.
Making me select movies from my personal DVD, Blu-ray, 4K collection and make Sam watch them with me.
That's right.
So I have begun doing that with this very film. It's the letter A, because I'm going to do a number at the end.
Fair.
It is 1999's American Beauty.
All right.
Watch this on August 7th of 2023. It is 2 hours and 2 minutes. It is a romance.
Hey.
Hey. Drama.
We did it.
Directed by Sam Mendes, starring Kevin Spacey, Annette Bening, and Thora Birch, amongst many, many more.
So many people in this movie.
Your summary for this one: a sexually frustrated suburban father has a midlife crisis after becoming infatuated with his daughter's best friend. That's part of it. Then there's Annette Bening's storyline. There's Thora Birch's storyline. So the cool thing about this movie is it starts with this gorgeous little house in the suburbs that's got the classic, iconic American imagery of a white picket fence.
Yeah.
And takes you beyond the white picket fence to see just how very fucked up everyone's life is behind that fence. And Kevin Spacey's kind of your character who leads you through it.
Yep.
Which is really cool. As that cool opening line of, you know what I mean? This is the day I die. And it's like, wait, how do we get here?
Right.
Like, this is really unique. It's so good. It really kind of tears down the perfect suburban family. It shows you just how messed up everyone is. It shows you how and this is before the age of the cell phone, really. Definitely right. Before the age of the smartphone.
Right.
How, despite the fact everybody can be sitting around a dinner table together talking, they're all so very disconnected and distant with each other.
Far away, yeah.
Oh, it's so damaging. Like, everybody's performance is amazing. The script is amazing. Mendez's direction just helps perpetuate and propel the story forward. It just is a tough watch. Like, it's hard to watch. Everybody really brings it. The new neighbors with the young son who clearly has a lot going on. The father who's military, but also a domestic abuser. It's really rough, man. It's just a hard movie to watch in the best way. This movie won a ton of awards the year it came out.
Yep.
Deservedly so. It's so hard to watch, but it's so rewarding to watch. Like, everybody pays off. All their performances pay off. They realize the things they're aspiring to in a lot of cases and the things they're yearning for are more things that they're lusting for, especially true in Kevin Spacey's case, but also in Annette Bening's case, and realize that that's not exactly what they wanted at all.
It's funny because for as damaged and flawed as all these characters are, there are nice moments to them. It's like they're not so flawed. Like, for example, the son moves in and the Kevin Spacey character kind of feels like that dad's a scumbag, but he doesn't want to say that. He's like, why don't you just come over to my house if you need to get away? We'll work out in my garage. Like, innocent enough.
Innocent enough until the father sees
it. You know.
Oh my God. And it's so crazy that that's the direction it goes.
You don't see it coming.
No, it's really rough. Like, it's just, it makes so much sense. If you haven't seen this movie, it's definitely one to check out. I know the very famous imagery to come with it is roses and a plastic bag. The
plastic bag. I was going to say, it's just an artistic shot.
It's just,
there's so much more to these characters.
It's just so much deeper than what it is in the fact. There's so much that you can draw in and pull out of it that's not, and it's not obvious and beating you over the head like when I did They Clone Tyrone. It's not just trying to drive itself into your face. It's there if you want it. If not, you can focus on what the movie is presenting you and move on from there. It's a chef's kiss. It's really good.
I agree.
Haunting and memorable and scathing is what I have written down.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Man.
Phenomenal. IMDb gives it an 8.3, so a little bit lower than Pulp Fiction. Out of 10.
Still high for them.
Yes. Rotten Tomato critics, 192 critics, 87%.
Okay.
Audience, 250,000 plus, 93%.
I thought it was going to be lower again.
Nope. All kind of just slightly below Pulp Fiction. But for Max, it is above Pulp Fiction.
Ooh.
It's a 9.5 out of 10. And Sam, do you have a score to shout that I can repeat to the audience in a microphone? Sam will give it a 9.0.
You're getting Sam scores.
Wow. I
love it.
Yeah. So there you go. Can't really say hi. No. Sam is definitely more of a casual movie viewer than I am. Definitely less of a cinema snob. So I think the fact that both of us rank this so highly kind of speaks volumes for if you haven't seen it. Worth a watch.
It's a good one.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I remembered what I contributed, and I haven't watched that since it came out.
Yeah. Now get out.
Get the fuck out of here.